a lot of my exposure to music was through the English composers. And as a string player, later, after learning the piano, I fell in love with the music of Elgar and Vaughan Williams and Benjamin Britten. And so I have a natural inclination as a string player to enjoy early 20th century string music. Having said that, a lot of also the traditions that I came from, even when I was a professional violinist with the Auckland Philharmonia, you know, our repertoire is you know, a little more perhaps European-centric. And what I mean by that is when I moved to this country in 1988, you know, there was a lot of Strauss and the big romantic literature. And we obviously, in our orchestra back there, also played a lot of English music and Viennese music as well. But it's just interesting to see the choice of repertoire. So naturally, that's where I've come from.
You're a little unusual, too, and not only do you have piano and strings, but you also studied the cornet. How does that inflect your appreciation of an orchestral balance?
Well, that's actually twofold answer to your question. One is the camaraderie that I experienced as a youngster. I started playing the cornet by default. I was 9 years old. My older brother was learning the drums. I've got four older brothers, by the way. And
you survived.
Well, so far. And so he would come home as a 16-year-old, and I was about 9 or 10, and he was learning the drums, and he would play all of the riffs and things. And so I got learning, and I got myself a pair of drumsticks, and I went down to the band room and played through all of these solos. And they said, well, you're good enough to get in the band, but you're too small to carry the snare drum and march. So here, take this. And they handed me a cornet, which is the smallest brass instrument, and said, go home and learn that. So I didn't know any better. So that's how I started learning the cornet. And very soon I got into the band and played in it for about 7 years until high school. And I just had too many things going on. But it has helped me have an understanding of brass playing. It's somewhat different. And I mentioned the camaraderie. That was great. You know, mostly men at that time, although there were a couple of women in the band, but and it was in the days of a smoke-filled room. You couldn't see the wall because of the smoke, and I hope my secondhand smoke hasn't affected me. That's supposed to be a joke, but not really.
Yeah, it is and it isn't sometimes.
Yeah.
A conductor can't reveal his or her musical personality until they can program a whole season. But we can talk to you about what kind of repertoire you favor and how you would balance a season for the needs of, say, well, for instance, Central Illinois.
Well, first of all, I thank you. The first thing I do is I look back at their history and see what they've done before. Obviously, you know, I'm not going to repeat something that they've just done a couple of years ago. But at the same time, I am very interested in the classics as well as some of the more contemporary composers. As I mentioned, you know, Vaughan Williams and some of the British symphonists, if they haven't been done, I would have a penchant to do that. I love Brahms, Haydn, and Mozart, and Beethoven, of course. That's the staple of any orchestra. I mean, that's really what gives you the soul and teaches us ongoing how to play together as an ensemble. That's a great teaching tool as well as just fantastic music. But it's also important to play the likes of Sibelius or even Nielsen, who, you know, while their language might be less accessible than the likes of the German tradition or the Viennese tradition, they do have a voice, a very strong voice. And, you know, what's unique about the composers whose symphonies have risen to the top is that they have a very distinctive voice. And so the challenge is to really get into that voice and to communicate that to the audience and that spark, that passion which goes with when you fall in love with a particular composer, you want to be able to spread the love, so to speak, and convince other people of what it is. And we're not going to do that for everyone. I mean, we all have our choices and our favorite pieces, but certainly a piece well played and convincingly communicated and performed is the goal, and to make the orchestra sound its best.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Andrew Sewell, a guest conductor of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra and finalist for the position of music director of the ISO. Do different cities have different musical personalities?
By all means, absolutely. Yes, every community, as unique as its history, has a unique perspective on their arts and on their symphony and their loyalties to that organization and the history that goes behind it. And of course, it's also personality driven. So whoever was your previous music director, two or three back, can define and direct, you know, where a community wants their orchestra to go or whether they don't want it to go. So it's a big responsibility. And I noticed I was also in Wichita for 10 years, and Madison, Wisconsin is a fairly liberal town. It's college town. We have a symphony orchestra as well as a chamber orchestra and a number of dance companies. There's a wealth of arts. So almost in my job as the music director there, it's to kind of separate ourselves from what the symphony does and what the chamber orchestra does. So I have some ability to venture into some different areas and even experiment. Wichita was a very traditional area, and they like to get their meat and potatoes repertoire. And so I still introduce new works, but at not as a concentrated level. So I kind of learnt that. And so, you know, within a year or two, you get a feel for what works and what people want, as well as how they want to be stretched in terms of their listening. So, you know, it's very important to me to hear what they have heard, what they want to listen to, and how they respond. And, of course, it all comes down to what happens in the concert hall, because ultimately that's what we do. We make music. It's like a cooking show on the spot. You know, you create it right there and then you taste it, and it's delicious.
Let's talk about the repertoire.
Well, we open with George Gershwin's Strike Up the Band. That's a good opener. We're also combining that. We've got a piece by Stella Sung. She's from Florida. She's written this piece in 2007. It's part of a Rockwell Reflections new work that I had performed in Wichita when I was there. And it takes five canvases of Norman Rockwell's paintings. This is the last one. It's a very famous, iconic painting called The Peace Corps. It's a beautiful piece. It sounds like Aaron Copland. It's very stirring, and I know that for a first-time listen, the audience are really going to enjoy that.
That captures the sepia-toned yet clear images of Rockwell.
When I did this the first time, we had pictures of the Rockwell painting, and if you look at that painting, they're all looking up, and there's a picture of JFK on there, as well as three young people, and they're looking kind of upwards and towards the future. It's very optimistic. We need some optimism right now. And so this music sort of starts low and quiet, and just is one kind of crescendo to the end, and it just is so optimistic. We're also doing a piece by Collins called Cowboy Breakdown. It's a 3-minute kind of barn dance, shall we say. He was from Chicago, died in 1955, left a wealth of compositions that have only been recently discovered and recorded by Maren Alsop. He needs to be played.
Tell us a little bit about Sarah Lawrence and what she brings to the table tonally.
Yeah, Sarah is from Stoughton, Wisconsin, which is just south of Madison. She's currently in Duluth as the director with her husband, Callan Metz, of Opera of the North. I first worked with Sarah the very first season I came to Madison, and it was on a program for the Norwegian Singers of America annual conference. It was the very first concert I ever did with the chamber orchestra. She was relatively young singer then, and just had a beautiful voice. And we became reacquainted only about a few years ago when we had the second repeat of the 10th year anniversary of the same Norwegian Singers of America, and she was singing again. So I've kept in touch. I do like to hire singers in the region, and I did a program of holiday music with her last year, and it was a knockout. So I thought, well, what better way than to celebrate in Illinois but to invite her back? So she'll be singing Rejoice from that aria from the Messiah as well.
Andrew Sewell, conducting the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Charlie.